Council to Conference Presidents, St. Helena, California, September 27, 1906. In a vision of the night, I was given a message for those bearing large responsibility in the work of God in California. So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 33, verse 7 to 9. The chapter in which these words are found will need to be understood, or men will plead a contradiction in the work and messages that God gives his servants. The prophet continues, "When I say to the righteous man that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall not surely die, he shall live. None of the sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Verses 13 to 19. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Verses 30 to 33. Our relation to God and his government is one of personal responsibility. No man can perform his neighbor's duty for him, or carry his neighbor's responsibility. He will not be excused if he neglects his duty in any line, for the Lord requires the strictest fidelity. The minister will be called to give a strict account of his work in the ministry. If, though understanding what the will of the Lord is, he weaves his own ideas into the work and carries out his own purposes in the giving of the message, if, instead of giving to the people a thus saith the Lord, he gives a thus saith man, God will bring his work to naught. He will not suffer his case to be misrepresented, his faithful workmen to be distressed, by the course of those who seek to carry out their own ideas and plans rather than the plans of God. God looks to every worker for a faithful presentation of the message entrusted to him, but no man is to take upon himself responsibilities and burdens that the Lord has not laid upon him. No messenger, however responsible his position, is to seek to dominate the consciences of others. Again and again, the case of the Southern California Conference has been presented to me. In this conference, some who have been long in the message have warped the work and greatly hindered its progress. At one of the camp meetings in Los Angeles, it was proposed that all members of the conference should be delegates. I had to meet this proposition and say that it ought not to be adopted. In various conferences, this plan has worked confusion, and light was given me that we should not follow a plan that would open so wide a door for perplexity and confusion. Our instructor pointed out to me the dangers of young men who are placed in positions of large responsibility and who, because they have not experience and wisdom to comprehend their office, are inclined to embrace too much responsibility and authority. In the Southern California Conference, there has been a failure to discern talent and to use it. Experienced men, upon whom the Lord has again and again laid responsibility, have been lightly esteemed. At some of the meetings held, old, gray-headed men, who were experienced in teaching the truth, and upon whom the Lord had placed the burden of showing His people where we stand in this earth's history, sat by and listened, while young men preached to the people. In some of the eastern states, the same idea has prevailed, that the young ministers of the conference should be brought to the front to preach, while the old, experienced ministers listened. But when the young men are pushed to the front, and the experience of the pioneers in the cause is not appreciated, God is dishonored. For thus the people lose the message that the Lord wishes them to hear. I counsel my brethren in responsible positions not to let young men carry heavy responsibilities in preaching when they should be listening to the word of the Lord from the men who for many years have been preaching the truth and carrying the burden of the work. The words of the apostle, "Feed the flock of God," mean very much. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Those who attend our large gatherings are to hear the Word of God explained by our most experienced men. And the same plan should be followed in our business meetings. Christ's aged ministers are to bear the messages of truth in our large conferences and in our camp meetings.